Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Taylor, minister of South Tower, Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation of South Tower. And the orientation today is September 15, 2023. It's the first day of Tishri, 2027. This is our second service on this new moon Sabbath, and it's entitled Two Time Agreement Number 2, Volume 2. Okay. We're going to go and it says, the name is One Shepherd. Something about one shepherd to be with a multitude shouldn't be. That's the name of our sermon. The name of our song is Bringing in the Sheaves. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the moonlight and the dew, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadow, peering in the clouds, now winter's chilling breeze, lying by the harvest, and the labor ending, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing forth with weeping, sowing for the Master, though the Lord sustained our spirit often grieved. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. The name of our son today is One Shepherd to Accomplish What a Multitude of Them Failed to Accomplish. And that's in Two Time Agreement, Volume 2, number 2. Beecher Hollop, he did this on 1947, August 16th. Text for the prayer is probably that sheriff taught in the parable. Let's just forego the prayer thought there. There's no need to waste the time on that. Get into our main meat of the subject. Yeah, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 34, the chapter we are to study today, verses 1 and 2. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, and prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Yahweh unto the shepherds. Woe be unto the shepherds of the Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Now, Ezekiel is having visions only for one people of Israel, and that is these in the last days, for our time, 12th hour. And so when he's talking about the woe to the shepherds that feed themselves, he's talking about these general conference ministers that have taken over the Adventist church, that they're not even Adventists, they're just Catholic Jesuits. And so this is where Ezekiel is addressing. He's addressing these Jesuit Catholics during these last days that have taken over the Adventist church and completely nullified the prophecies that made the Adventist church what they are. They have instituted their own universal teaching of one doctrine. They only got one doctrine, and that's the three-in-one person of the Godhead, the Trinity. That's the only doctrine that they will allow for all the churches that they have captured. The Catholic Church has captured all the churches around the world, just like the old dragon at the cross when he stood before the woman to devour her man-child, Yahshua. And the old Satan was right there 2,000 years ago. He was there in the form of the red dragon, and he said he had 7 heads on his head. Said he had 10 horns. Showed that he had captured all the churches of the world back then, 2,000 years ago, including Israel, the Pharisees. He had them under his control, and he was in charge of all nations. He had brought the ten horns, and the universal number meaning that all, whatever they represented, all kingdoms around the world, Satan was in charge of. Well, today, through the leopard light beast of Revelation 13 that came out of the sea, that leopard light beast has 7 heads and 10 horns on it. Well, shows where the Catholic Church again, once again, made it to this country in 1776. That's when that leopard light beast prophecy came into being. Came to this country, and said, "I've come bringing you the information that I am in charge of all churches." And he had the 7. He had the 7 heads on his head. Let us continue. Ezekiel, we read, was given a vision of the selfish, greedy, and unworthy shepherds. And indeed, these Jesuits that infiltrated the Adventist church call themselves General Conference Seventh-day Adventists. They are definitely unworthy shepherds. Now, the first thing of the importance is to ascertain whether these selfish shepherds lived in Ezekiel's day, before his day, or after his day. To find this information, let us read Ezekiel 34:23-34. 23 and 24. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Yahweh, will be their Yahweh. Now, David, this antitypical David, in these last days, he's going to take the place of somebody that's in his position. And the only person that's in his position is the General Conference President of the Seventh-day Adventists, and that is Ted Wilson. Okay? Keep that in mind now. And my servant David is a prince among them. God is Yahweh that has spoken it. For it says, my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and the Yahweh will be their Yahweh. And my servant David is going to be a prince among them. God is Yahweh that has spoken it. For the self-centered shepherd, against whom the prophet is told, the right are to be replaced by one shepherd, David. When this takes place, Yahweh's people will then have but one shepherd. This cannot be Yahshua himself, for the inspiration never called him David. But rather it calls him the son of David. Since the Yahweh's people have always had and still do have many shepherds, okay, the truth stands out as clear as crystal that the David of verses 23 and 24 is yet to come, and that the shepherds whom the inspiration addresses are in particular those whom David is to succeed. Ezekiel then was not given a vision of the shepherds in his day, nor of those before his day, but of the shepherds after his day. The day in which Yahweh raises up this answer for David to feed his hungry and neglected flock, Yahweh's people shall then no longer serve strangers, but they shall serve the Yahweh, their Yahweh, and David, their king. Let's do that again. But they shall serve the Yahshua, their Redeemer, their Savior, and David, their visible king, under Yahshua, which is also a visible king at this time. Yahshua is going to be here in the person. But the only people that can stand his side are going to be people that are free from sin. And David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Jeremiah 30, verse 9. Here we see not only Ezekiel, but Jeremiah also was given a vision of the same truth. Thus all the prophets. Ezekiel 37, 24 and 25. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Now folks, this takes place right here in the 12th hour that we're in right now. We've got to come through this here Yahshua coming and getting all the wicked and separating them from the good. That's what's going on in the world today. I understand this. Donald Trump has been raised up, and he's going throughout the whole world separating the good people from the bad people. Believe it or not, that's what his rise, that's what they do. And the moral majority are assimilating under the Republican flag on the right side, and the left, the Democrats, are assimilating also under the Republican flag, and under the flag of the United States of America. Okay, and so they're going to find out who Yahshua is going to choose out of these two groups of people. Since this is the addition to the third angel's message, Hebrews page 277. And since it is a message of the hour, consequently the day of the Davidian kingdom is at hand. Let us turn to I see B.T. Elvis saying back in 1947, he's preaching a sermon. He said, the day of the Davidian kingdom is at hand. Well, B.T. Elvis thought that he was going to slip that Davidian kingdom for real in 1950. He said there was a time for it, and he was in charge of it. Going to bring forth 144,000 to prove it in 1950 at his place and old Mount Carmel and Waco, Texas. But it never happened. And so every successor of each holiday after that has said, yeah, I'm supposed to set up the Davidian kingdom. So Ben Roden succeeded each holiday. As a matter of fact, he built a throne at his temple there in 1970, and Ben Roden said it's time to bring forth the Davidian kingdom, and I am antithetical of David, and he built a throne in his church, and he sat upon it in a white uniform, in a white suit. He said, I had himself crowned King David. So he said, I'm to set up the Davidian kingdom. 1970. Brother John said, no. 1970 is the year that I'm supposed to set up the kingdom of heaven. Brother Johnson wouldn't call it the Davidian kingdom. Of Daniel 2:44. Well, Daniel 2:44 is the same thing when it says, in the days of his king shall the Yahweh of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed left by the people. Well, that kingdom is none other but the Davidian kingdom. As it is set up in these last days. And here we have these prophets, three in a row, B.T. Hollis, Ben Roden, and Brother Johnson, crowning themselves King David. That's what they were doing. And B.T. Hollis named the shepherd bride of the Davidian kingdom, and that's what he did. He was calling himself antithetical David. I don't care how you look at it. But they were all done. Hosea 3:4-5. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim, after which shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahweh, Yahshua, and their Redeemer, and David, their king, and shall fear the Yahweh and his goodness in the latter days. For the many days are now almost over, and the time for the fulfillment of the Yahweh's promises is certain at the threshold of our time. Ezekiel 34:3. You eat the fat, and you clothe ye with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. For the shepherds in the day that the kingdom is to be set up accused of taking all they can possibly take from the sheep, and have not given any care to the sheep. This must not become our practice. He's using 34, 4, and 5. For the disease have you not spent it, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. This careless attitude on the part of the shepherds is causing the laity to wander from one ism to another in search of the spiritual food and physical care. Thus they wander, so to speak, from one hill unto another, many of whom have figuratively become meat for the beast. That's the isms. And because there is no shepherd to care for the sheep. Well, that's true. You go right down to the Elgin Adventist Church. They don't have a paid minister from the General Conference to come in there and preach a sermon every week. They can't afford it. So they just let the main, one of the main people, they choose one of the main members of the church to take over and supervise the preaching and whatever. And they don't pay them nothing. They volunteer for it. So they say that they are sure to take the wool from their back and the fat from their ribs. Shameful indeed. And who dare refuse to declare what Yahweh said? Ezekiel 34:6-10. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill, yea. My flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. As I live, saith the Yahweh, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Let us not fool ourselves any longer. Yahweh cannot be mocked, for he will not forever forsake his sheep, neither will he forever retain untrustworthy shepherds herding his sheep. He will soon discharge them and will demand that they give an account for their unfaithfulness. So it is that what a multitude of shepherds have failed to do, one shepherd, even David, this untypical David, will in Yahweh's hands get done. Ezekiel 34:13. And I will bring them out from the people, and give them from the countries, and will bring them unto their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and all the inhabited places of the country. Okay. In the days of this antitypical David, Yahweh judges his flock from all the countries where they have been scattered and brings them into their own land, for the Yahweh will no longer lead them in the mountains and the hills of the Gentiles. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of the judgment. That's what shall the children of Israel return and speak the Yahshua, their king, and David, their antithetical invisible king, under Yahshua, the king, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness, shall fear the Son and his goodness in the latter days, because his Son's going to be here in person. It's like he was the first time he came. He came here and he was in the person. Hosea 1:11 and chapter 3 verse 5. It says Ezekiel 34:11-16. So there says the Yahweh, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered and are cloudy and dark day, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the country and will bring them in their own land and feed them from the mountains of the Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel shall they fold, their fold be, there shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, says to Yahshua, the Son. I will seek that which was lost, like he did Zacchaeus. He told Zacchaeus, I come to seek and save that which was lost, since you're also a son of Abraham, a seed of Abraham, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with the judgment. Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Yahweh has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality. Verily, the days of the purification of the seventh day of the service shall hasten on a pace. Yahweh will have a people pure and true. And who is that people? That's that fifth group of laborers that's called at the 11th hour in Matthew 20, verse 6. That was that last group that's called with the last movement of verse history for Israel. And that is to start this great harvest of all the remnant around the world, both living and both dead, that has to be resurrected. Have a people pure and true in a mighty sifting. Soon to take place, we shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel. For the signs reveal that the time is near when Yahshua will manifest that his hand is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge you slower. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. Ezekiel 34:17. And as for you, O my flock, Seventh-day Adventist, this general conference, Seventh-day Adventist, you Jesuits that have taken over Ellen G. White's Adventist Church, thus said to Yahweh, behold, I judge between shadow and shadow, between the rams and the eagles. Inspiration now turns from the shepherd and speaks unto the flock. To the laity, that is. Now he's speaking to the laity now. He done got rid of the leaders. And warns that there are two kinds of cattle, two classes of laity now. You've got the rams and the he-goats. This is therefore a warning unto them. And we must not fail to declare it. And they must not fail to hear and to act. For this very cause are the time of greetings published and scattered as the leaves of the autumn. Part of the chattel are serious. Now, Ezekiel 34:18. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the deep water, but you must foul the residue with your feet. Part of the cattle are accused of being selected of eating and drinking only that which is to their liking, and of tramping the residue, except whatever truth is agreeable to them, but reject the rest. Here we shall cite an example. My labor has been most discouraging, as I have seen that what Yahweh designed has not been accomplished. These brethren took this position. We believe the vision that Sister White and the writing of them put of them in her own words. And we will believe that portion which we think is of the Yahweh and will not heed the other. Testimony, Volume 1, page 234. For the rebuke, O you slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, that rests upon the two disciples, and a challenge to each of us. None of us is as great as the Yahshua, yet he believed all the prophets, what all the prophets wrote, and the entire belief in the prophets is what makes Yahweh's people great. Here is seen that whosoever humbleth himself shall be exalted, and whosoever exalteth himself shall be ashamed. Luke 14:11. Let's read that again. Yahweh's people great, it says. The rebuke, O you slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, that rests upon the two disciples, is a challenge in each of us. None of us is as great as the Yahshua, yet he believed all that the prophets wrote, for he believed and for the entire belief in the prophets is what makes Yahweh's people great. Here is seen that whosoever humbleth himself shall be exalted. And whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. Luke 14:11. Well, I for one do not question anything Yahweh has spoken through his prophet. I know that he does not lie, that he is well able to direct the writings of his prophets, that he makes no vain promises, that he is able to fulfill all of what he said, that his prophecies never fail. I take the promises of the rebuke as reality as readily as the promises of the commandment. I study my duties as laid down by him with as great pleasure as I study the promises of the glory. Ezekiel 34:19. And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Yahweh's true people is truly great, except that which the so-called wise tread down with their feet. Ezekiel 34:20-21. It says, therefore thus saith Yahshua the Son unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. There is a class of church members who thrust with the side and shoulder of those whom they dislike, usually those who are not of the same hearty type as themselves. These shall have their punishment. And those who are thus mistreated shall never feel hurt, shall never become discouraged, for theirs is the kingdom, so long as they do not thrust and push others, for the doubters and scatterers will have their reward. Ezekiel 34:22-25. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Yahshua, will be their king and their savior and their redeemer. And my servant David as a prince among them. I, the Yahshua, the Son, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of the peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. Who are these evil beasts? It's these General Conference President and his ministers. That's your evil beast. They're taking over the pulpit and the throne of the house of Israel. Those Jesuit infiltrators. Well, they're antitypical Pharisees is what they are. They've come in there and taken over the throne of David. That's what the Pharisees did in Yahshua's day. They took over the throne of Judah, which was nothing but the throne of David. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. For the present state of the affairs among both ministry and laity will soon have to cease. No longer are the transgressors to commingle with the obedient. No longer are the hypocrite and the sincere to walk together. No longer are you as people to be obliged to listen to every wind of doctrine. No longer are they to be neglected or left to suffer in fear. Since we are now face to face with inspiration and are told the difference between right and wrong, we are left without a cloak to hide under. We can now intelligently choose either to serve Yahweh or to serve self and man, either to trust in Yahweh for the studying of his word for ourselves or for the trusting in man to have others study it for us and tell us what is the truth and what is the error, for we can now decide to let prejudice control us or to open our hearts. So that the truth can find lodgment there, we can now be as dark objects in the corner or as bright lights on the top of the mountain. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12:3. Now this is all going to take place right here. We often sing this song. There shall be showers of blessing. But now it is up to us. We can have them or we can run away from them. Those who accept all of Yahweh gives all the prophets. Those that accept all that Yahweh gives, all that the prophets have written, upon them will be the shower, will the showers fall. Only those who have withstood temptation and the strength of the mighty one will be permitted to act as a part in the proclaiming of the third angel's message, which shall swell into the loud cry in the 12th third by the hour during the judgment of the living. For the third angel's message only existed in the judgment of the dead period, and that was from 1844 to 2002. And then the third angel's message disappeared along with all the other prophecies that were during the time of the judgment of the dead, except those that were to perpetuate the messages of the fourth and the fifth angel's message. All of those messages during the journey of the dead that perpetuated the fourth and fifth angel was perpetuating the loud cry message to take place during the judgment hour of the living in the 12th hour when it shall have swelled into the loud cry. For the Review and Herald, November 19, 1908. Ezekiel 34:27. And the trees of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in the land, and shall know that I am the Yahshua, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. There shall be showers of blessing, and this shall be a great harvest too. We had that in our song this morning, Bringing the Shoes. Actually, the name of our song, that's talking about the harvest. This shall be when the band of our yoke are broken, when we are delivered from the bands of those who serve themselves instead of the flock. Ezekiel 34:28-29. And it shall no more be a credit to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them. That's talking about these false Jesuit Catholic priests, because they're going to all be dead. That they shall dwell safely, and men shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. You know, when this takes place, this is when eternity actually begins. Right here, this is the kingdom of heaven here on earth. This is when eternity begins for all of those that are righteous in this kingdom. Those that come through the judgment, makes it through the atonement, gets their sins blotted out, they get on the other side of this wall, of this kingdom. By the fact you gain entrance into eternal life. When you come through the atonement, get your sins blotted out, you gain entrance into eternal life. Not only will Yahweh deliver his people from the hands of the unfaithful and cruel brethren, but he will also protect them from being a prey unto the heathen and to the ism. Ezekiel 34:30-31. Thus shall they know that I, the Yahshua, their Redeemer, their Savior, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Yahshua. Why is Yahshua talking here? Because he inherited the house of Israel these last days by the virtue of his redeeming blood for them. He's their emancipator. He's their redeemer. And ye are my flock, he said. The flock of my pasture are men, and I am your shepherd, saith the Yahshua. I am your great shepherd. That's what it should read. For the Yahshua does not forsake his flock, for he tenderly calls them my flock and reassures them that he is their shepherd. For he will without fail set one shepherd to accomplish what a multitude of the shepherds have failed to do. Now is your opportunity to feast on the meat in the due season. At the hand of the Yahweh's chosen shepherd, or starve on the hearth at the hand of a multitude of the shepherds, multitude of those Jesuit false shepherds, is what you should call them. Okay, looks like we come to the end of our study of the Two Timely Greeting, Volume 2, Number 2. Let's turn to Isaiah 55. It says, verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me. I hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now this is Isaiah's prophecy about the last days, about the sure mercies of David is what we're going to be under. That's in Isaiah 55. It says, verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsty, come you to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Isaiah verse 55 verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Isaiah 55, 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and you, and your soul shall live. Now, see, it says, incline your ear and come unto me, and if you'll hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now, this is Yahshua talking. Isaiah's quoting Yahshua. Isaiah 55:4. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people. Okay. A leader and a commander to the people. Now, who is this? This is antithetical David. This is what Isaiah's quoting Yahshua is saying. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people. Isaiah 55:5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Yahshua, thy Savior and Redeemer. Okay. As the Holy One of Israel. Okay, and it originally reads like this. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because, as it says, of the Yahweh, the Father, thy Yahweh, and for his Son, as the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. That's the way the translators put it, so we'll leave it that way. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It's actually talking about seek the Son, Yahshua. Seek ye the Yahshua, the Son. For he's going to be here in person. And they were admonished to go and seek Yahshua back then. And remember what the one disciple said to Nathanael? Says, we have found the Messiah. We have found the one that the prophets talked about in the prophecy. And it says, he come out of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, is there any good thing can come out of Nazareth? They said, well, come and see. So he said, well, I will go and see. But I don't believe it, but I will go and see. And he went and saw, and Yahshua convinced him. Nathanael acknowledges Yahshua. It says Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Yahshua. Sure, and he will have mercy upon him, and unto our Yahweh, for he will abundantly pardon. Yahweh is the one that pardons on the Day of Atonement, the Father. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. Isaiah 55:9. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isaiah 55:12. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, for the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Isaiah 55:13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be unto the Yahweh for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Okay, that's the end of chapter 55 of Isaiah. Let's see what more we have. Now let's go to Ruth chapter 4. It says, verse 1, then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Ruth 4:2. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. Ruth 4 verse 3. And he said unto the kinsmen, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, sell us a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech. Verse 4. And I thought to advertise this, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants of, and before the elders of my people, if thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Ruth 4:5. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabite, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead among his inheritance. Verse 6, And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Verse 7, Now this was the manner in the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man took off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony of Israel. Ruth 4:8. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Ruth 4:9. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech, and all that was Chilion and Mahlon, of the hand of Naomi. Ruth 4:10. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon the inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his faith ye are witnesses this day. Ruth 4:11. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. Yahweh make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily an Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Ruth 4:12. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which Yahweh shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, Yahweh gave her conception, and she bare a son. Ruth 4:14. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Yahweh, which has not left thee this day without a gentleman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Ruth 4:15. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne help. So the line of David begins here now with Ruth 4:16. It says, And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. Ruth 4:17. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Ruth 4:18. Now, these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. And verse 19, And Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Abinadab. Ruth 4:20. And Abinadab begat Nashon. Nashon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. This brings in verse 50, shall contact us at the 11th hour corner, number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with the song. I found the answer.
I was weak and weary, I had gone astray, walking in the darkness, I couldn't find my way. Then a light came shining to lead me from despair. All my sins forgiven, now I see from care. I found the answer. I learned to pray with faith to guide me. I found a way. The sun is shining for days. I found the answer. I learned to pray. I was sad and lonely. All my hopes were gone. Days were long and weary. I couldn't carry on. Then I found the courage to keep my head up high. Once again I'm happy, and here's the reason why. I found the answer. I learned to pray with faith to guide me. I found a way. The sun is shining for a mistake. I found the answer. I learned to pray. Keep your Bible with you. I read it every day. Always count your blessing, and always stop to pray. Learn to keep believing, and faith will see you through. Seek to know contentment, and it will come to you. I found the answer. I've learned to pray with faith to guide me upon the way.